CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs. Berlin, the electricity costs have doubled. They're likely to triple. Berlin, Olaf Scholz, the chancellor, is in debate with his own coalition about extending the life of nuclear power plants. There are three left online that contribute 6% of the electricity, but they need every percent. Berlin, they're reopening or already have reopened the coal faces, but they don't have enough workers right now. They're going to import coal from really good coal producers like Australia. Berlin is an example of what is going on throughout Europe. The UK, the Netherlands, others are entertaining building nuclear power plants, reopening their coal fields because the cutoff of energy from the Nord Stream 1 has now reduced everyone to planning immediately, either storing gas to get through the worst of the winter or what happens next year. Gregory, Berlin is out of time. They're out of ideas. They have long-term expectations of perhaps new pipelines, liquefied natural gas ports, perhaps even exploring fracking, but not now. Are they defeated, Gregory? What can you tell from the way they're responding to what appears to be the Russian intention to use the energy weapon?
Yes, Germany has literally surrendered. It's run out of options, and there's no evidence that they are planning anything substantial to redress their energy situation, largely because the SPD government under Olaf Scholz has had to take the Greens, Die Grünen, in as part of the coalition government. And the Grünen's Robert Habeck became the Minister for Economy, Climate and Energy. So all of this is within his hands, and he will not, nor will Die Grünen, countenance any nuclear energy startups, any increase in the coal-fired power plants and the like. But the reality is that rather than taking any new initiatives, which is what they are politically incapable of doing because of they've locked themselves into these ideological debates, is that they will try to continue to utilize and expand existing lines of energy supply. And that, as you say, includes the importation of more coal, attempting to salvage what they can from the existing three nuclear power plants, and, of course, continuing without making any big fuss about it, as much importation of Russian natural gas as possible. And, of course, importing natural gas and oil from elsewhere in the world, which is going to be something that will keep the energy prices fairly high. But in the meantime, it's all going to be very, very expensive, and it's going to be insufficient. And we see the economic contraction of Germany over the coming 12 months, 18 months or so.
It's not going to be any better in Italy. There's an election on, and the leading coalition is right of center and has very little patience for international affairs when it needs to take care of the Po River Valley, now drying up in a drought, with the risotto rice crop badly damaged, perhaps for years, because of salt water coming up from the Adriatic. You know, I can go on like this, Gregory. So we're looking at a Europe that faces no good options as long as the Ukraine struggle continues. Is there prospect in your measure of Ukraine to be settled before the worst of the winter, or is this it into 23, what we have now?
What we're seeing is the Ukraine situation being settled by default. Now, the Ukrainians are not happy with this and not accepting it, so they're attempting unilaterally to escalate military operations against Russia in the Donbass and in the Crimean area. But the reality is that the West is going to gradually cut back on their supplies to the Ukraine. Now, that will particularly apply to supplies from Western European NATO members. Britain will continue to a degree to increase its military support for Ukraine, and the United States under the Biden administration will definitely continue to send defense material into Ukraine. Now, the resistance, I think, is going to build particularly within the United States against just stepping up the removal of U.S. military equipment, and more particularly of ordnance, in other words, ammunition coming out of the U.S. to go to Ukraine, because the U.S. while it had, may have a few weeks of support capability in terms of petroleum, oil, and ammunition and the like for its operations, is not well equipped if it's going to go into a major conflict with, for example, the People's Republic of China. Yes, we do see many U.S. defense manufacturing plants, you know, now working three shifts a day to try to make good on some of the materiel which has been shipped over to Ukraine. But right now, I would say that we have seen a settlement, more or less, of the Ukraine situation. But that means that fighting will just continue, and it will be continue to be annoying and bloody. But the strategic lines, if you like, in the map are not going to change dramatically, because the Europeans, beset by energy shortages, beset by drought, which is now pervasive in France and Italy and Spain and the like, and Portugal, that's all going to be militating against an ongoing NATO unanimity in the support of Ukraine.
The PRC continues its saber rattling at Taiwan. In Afghanistan, there is no rescue at hand for 30 million people, half of whom are without food security. In South Africa, Eswatini is under an assault similar to what Taiwan is experiencing, but at this time it includes possible assassination of a king. And in Europe, winter's coming. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.